All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, for the message this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 7. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it this morning. John, chapter 7. And I will begin reading in the 14th verse. We'll read down through verse 19. Beginning in verse 14, it says, "Now, about the midst of the feast," and if you will look back at chapter 1, you will see, or verse 1, you will see that he went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it's a week-long celebration. And verse 14 tells us that about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He went up into the temple and taught, and the people gathered to hear him. Now, notice the next verse. It says, "And the Jews," that's the people that gathered, "the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Now, what are they asking? How knoweth this man letters? What they're basically asking is, how did this guy get so smart? How did he get so learned? He didn't go to our schools. You see, during Old Testament times and New Testament times as well, even today in Israel, there are rabbinical schools. There are these little universities that teach the Judaism, and usually, even today, they are still centered around a very strong personality. Some rabbi will be promoted chief rabbi by his peers, and in order to get his teaching established, they will create a rabbinical school, and they will train rabbis in this one man's doctrine. He is usually a very charismatic individual. He is a good speaker. He is a good thinker. He is a good writer. And this school will grow up around him. And everybody knows the teaching of that school. Now, during Old Testament times, during the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew, for example, several of these schools were created. And everybody knew the different schools, and they knew the differences between them. And you either liked this one or you didn't like that one, whatever the case may be. And so that's basically what prompted this question. Here's the Lord, a rabbi, a teacher, and he comes into the city of Jerusalem, goes and to the temple and begins to teach the scriptures. And the people come to hear him, and they're perplexed because they are familiar with all the different schools. They know what their doctrine is. And yet when they listen to the Lord Jesus teach, it is unlike anything they've ever heard. And so they know that he did not go to this university or to that college or to that school. His doctrine was different than everybody else's. And so they're basically questioning amongst themselves, and they're asking, where'd this guy go to college? We don't understand where he went to school. Doesn't sound like anything that we've ever heard anybody else teach. Well, look at verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Now, folks, you got to realize when he said this, it was only, he had only been amplifying what in the previous chapters of John he had been saying that he was from God. He had said over and over in John that he was the Messiah, that he was sent from heaven and was the Son of God, was God in the flesh. He said, I and my Father are one. And so when he said in verse 16, my doctrine is not mine, but is his that sent me, everybody there understood and knew that he was just furthering his claim to be God in the flesh. Oh, that angered them. They did not like that at all. He said then in verse 17, if any man will do his will, speaking of the Father, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. In other words, if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to identify that I'm teaching the truth. You'll see it. I have always said for years, and I don't know where I got it. I doubt it was original, but, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. But I've said for years that if you want to find out if a stick is crooked, all you have to do is lay a straight stick down beside of it. Right here's the straight stick. If you want to find out if somebody is teaching something that, you know, may sound good, but you just don't know, best way to find out if what that guy is saying is straight is lay a straight stick down beside of it. Lay the Bible down beside of it. Does it match the Bible? You see, that's our guideline. All right, continuing on. Verse 18, he said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. I bet that went over well, don't you? Oh, they were, they're standing there. Oh my goodness, he just reached out, grabbed all of them and shook them real good. And you say, you could see them now. What do you mean we don't do the law? Well, look at the last part of verse 18 or 19. He said, why are you trying to kill me? Did not Moses say, thou shalt not kill? So he had them nailed. He had them nailed. Now, I want you to go back to verse 14 and 15, and I want you to focus on what they said to the Lord Jesus. The Jews marveled in verse 15, and they said, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Now, I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. Where did you go to school? Where did you go to school? They had never heard anybody like Jesus. And they didn't identify his speech. They didn't identify his doctrine. They could not put their finger on it. He told them, I went to school with the Father. My question to you this morning is, where did you go to school? Leave your Bible open and let's pray and then the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be able to hear the Word of God preached this morning. Help us, Father, to understand and to see. I need your help this morning as I use your Word to try to convince people the people that are listening to the message right now to get in the Word of God and to find out what they believe and to know why they believe it and to be ready to give an answer just as the Scriptures have said. So, Father, help us this morning. I pray you'll speak to every heart and just enable us to determine that we're going to get in the book and get our doctrine from the Father. And not just to have itching ears and not just to have the word of man as our guide, but to have the word of God as our guide. So, Father, help me this morning as I speak and bless our hearts with what we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what our text implies is that the Lord Jesus gave the impression to those that heard him speak in the temple this day that he was an avid student. He was a learned man. He was not just your average person who had an average understanding of things, but when he sat down to speak, these Jews that were listening to him recognized that in him was a learned and an educated individual. As he stood in the temple and started to speak, these great crowds of people would gather and they listened to his every word. And they evaluated every thought and every argument. They sat and put together all the things that he said and were amazed at the ability that he had to take the truth of God's word and make it so simple that a child could understand it, and yet be so profound that it brought confusion to the religious hierarchy of the day. There was just something about him that compelled everyone to listen and to give their attention. And when they did, they could not understand how one so young could speak with such authority and could speak as such an authority on any given subject that he chose to speak on. And the one question that seemed to be on everybody's lips on this day at the temple was this. How knoweth this man his letters? How does he know this, having never learned? Now, what they're saying is, we know this guy. We know he's from Galilee. He looks like one of us. He's just an ordinary person. He dresses like us. He looks like us. But yet, when he speaks, it's amazing. We have never heard anything like this before. And we know that he did not go to anybody's university or anybody's school around here, for he does not spout their doctrine. So when they heard him speak, they said, "How knoweth this man letters?" Seeing that he never learned anything. He didn't go to our colleges. So that's what the question means. How did this fellow learn all of this wisdom, seeing that he did not go to our schools? He did not attend our universities. He did not graduate from any of our rabbinical schools. So how did he learn all of this great teaching that he is sharing with us? You see, folks, in spite of his wisdom and understanding, they all knew that he was just like them. He was a common man from Galilee. But yet, as they listened to this common man, they recognized him as a student, as educated, as cultured, as cultivated. I mean, they knew that he had learned something amazing along the way. So what I want us to do this morning is I want us to think about the Lord Jesus as a student. I want you to think of the Lord this morning as a student. That's how these folks saw him when he spoke that afternoon at the temple. And that is what prompted them to ask the question about where did he attend school. You know, I've been in the ministry for a long time now. I've been at this a while. I didn't just fall off the pumpkin wagon. I mean, I've been doing this for a while. And I've learned something. Now, this is not 100%, okay? It's in the 90s. I will just about guarantee it's in the 90s. But it's not 100%. I'm not saying that, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But I've been at this a long time. And you know, I can just about tell after being around a preacher for just a little while, I can just about tell you where he went to Bible college. I really can. I had that tested this week. This last Monday and Tuesday, I preached in the southern part of Ohio. On Monday night, I preached in Chesapeake, Ohio, at the First Baptist Church of Chesapeake. And then on Tuesday, I preached at the Franklin Furnace Independent Baptist Church. And on Monday night, all the folks from Franklin Furnace came up to Chesapeake. And on Tuesday night, all the folks from Chesapeake came down to Franklin Furnace. I told them, I said, this is weird. We're not supposed to get along with one another. What you guys are doing is just weird, you know. Bringing two churches together. I said, y'all didn't read the handbook. It's not supposed to be like this. Thank God they did it. We had a great meeting. And the pastor at Franklin Furnace called and said, you want to get something to eat? Well, I had to leave at about 8:30 in the morning, Monday morning. And I had to drive. It was 480 miles down to the church. And so I got there about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I didn't know how long it'd take me to get there. So I was starving by the time I got there. He said, do you want to go get something to eat? I said, yeah, it'd be great. So he said, okay, I'll get you at 5:30. We'll stop and get a bite to eat and go to church. I said, fine. So he picked me up. We went to dinner and we sat down and started talking. And after just a little while, I looked at him and I said, where did you go to Bible school? Because I couldn't figure him out. He was a very articulate fella. He was had a great heart and great compassion. I mean, I'm sitting there saying, well, you probably, and I guess, you know, about what his age was and figured he must have went here. No, maybe not. Maybe he went, no, maybe not. And finally, after a few minutes, I just looked at him. I said, where'd you go to Bible college? And he said, I didn't. And I said, I knew it. That's why I couldn't figure out where you came from. He went to Ohio University and got an undergrad degree in education, and then went to Ohio State and earned his master's degree in education, was a teacher and a principal for many years, and then the Lord called him into full-time ministry. But I can be around a preacher just a little while, and I can pretty well tell you where he went to school. I don't always get it right. Don't always get it right. It's not 100%. But if I'm around someone for any length, I can pretty much tell you which college they went to. And you know, evidently, these Jews listening to the Lord Jesus on this day could do the same thing with any rabbi they heard speak. They could listen to someone and know that he went to the school of Gamaliel. They could listen to someone and know that they went to one on the other side of town. I mean, during our Lord's day, there were several of these rabbinical schools. They still have them there today, folks. They're still doing the same thing 2,000 years later in Israel. And let's be real. Each school would rub off on each student, and folks could see the similarities and were able to identify each rabbi with those who trained him in his doctrine. But when they listened to Jesus, They were not able to figure out where he learned his doctrine. So he boldly told them, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. His doctrine was the doctrine of God, his heavenly Father. He did not learn his doctrine from man. That's why they couldn't recognize it. He got his doctrine from God. And that's why they were so confused who his teacher was, who his rabbi was, because they did not understand the doctrine of God. Oh, they knew the doctrine of the other rabbis, but the truths he was teaching were so different from what they had heard from them, they asked him where he learned his doctrine. Everybody understand that? All right, now, with that in mind, I want to give you four little simple things here this morning. As I was thinking about him as a student, and not just here in this story, but from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, I thought of a few things I want to share with you. Number one, I noticed that the closer men got to him, the more they recognized his scholarship. The closer men got to him, the more they recognized that he was different from all the other teachers. When they heard him, they were puzzled. They were mystified. They had never heard anyone speak like the Lord Jesus. I think it's funny that these Jews were wondering where he got his education. I want you to picture them right now in your mind. I want you to see those old rabbis standing around, those Jews all standing around, and they're listening to Jesus. And one of the Jews looks over at the other and says, I've never heard this before. The other one says, well, I've never heard anything like this. This is amazing stuff. One of the leading rabbis of the day looks over at another rabbi and says, have you ever seen in the scriptures what he's pulling out of the scriptures? This is amazing stuff. Wonder where he went to school. Did he go to your school? No, he didn't go to my school. Did he go to yours? No, he didn't go to mine. And the people are all standing around and the buzz starts and everybody's talking. The Lord Jesus stops and says, gentlemen, what's the problem? And one of them speaks up and says, well, sir, we were just wondering, where did you go to school? Where did you get your education? Where did you get your letters? Hey, where did you get your alphabet? And the Lord Jesus probably smiled from ear to ear and said, are you kidding me, guys? I am the alphabet. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. They had never heard anything like that. And the more they heard him speak, the more they recognized the difference in him. You know, there are people who, when you look at them, you think they must know a little something. You know? You just watch how they handle themselves and you just think to yourself, you know, this guy probably knows something. I bet this guy can teach me something. But then when you get around them, you realize they're just as ignorant as we are. They're no different from us. And in just a minute or two, you find yourself disillusioned or maybe you find yourself even a little disappointed. But folks, I want you to understand that nobody was ever disappointed when they heard the Lord Jesus speak. Oh, the message was so clear and it was so resounding and it got right down to the very heart of the issue. I want you to think for just a moment about these rabbis. These men were students of the Old Testament scripture. These men devoted every waking moment to the study and to the learning of God's word. They poured themselves over the law, over the history, over the poetry, over the writings of the prophets. They were familiar with everything that was in their Old Testament scriptures. But then they heard the Lord Jesus speak. And he taught them things that no rabbi had ever discussed before. And when they stood and heard him, they realized that he knew more and knew more intimately, better than any of them had ever even hoped to learn. They were masters of the law, but every single one of them had to take a bow in with the precision with which the Lord Jesus handled God's word. How many times, folks, do we see Jesus twisting these scribes and these lawyers of the law and these Sanhedrin members, these Pharisees, these Sadducees? How many times do we see him just twisting them into a pretzel whenever they came and tried to argue with him? Oh, they could not stand up against the Lord Jesus Christ. He would say to them when they asked their ridiculous questions, he would say to them, what? Have ye never read? Oh, they had read. You can be assured of that. But you see, if you don't have eyes to see spiritual things, you don't see what somebody who has spiritual eyes sees. And so they had nothing when they read. All they got was just the letter of the law. But they had nothing. And certainly they had read the scriptures. Certainly. But even the proudest and the most scholarly of them all felt a complete and utter incompetence when he dared to argue the word of God in their presence. So the first thing I want you to notice about our Savior as a student is that the closer men got to him, the more they recognized his scholarship. But then secondly, our Lord never paraded his learning like all those other Sanhedrin members did. He never paraded his learning. Never. The truth is, the Lord Jesus abhorred that pride that the Pharisees and the scribes and the other religious zealots had. He was disgusted by all that. And he condemned that many, many times in the Gospels. Folks, listen to me. There is nothing as arrogant as the pride of education. I think you ought to get all you can get. But don't let it get you. I mean, I really think this is important. I think you ought to get all the education you can. And then I think you ought to get over it. I really mean that. There is a pride that goes along with advanced education. And the arrogance of this pride was so descriptive of the Pharisees of Christ's day. They took the laws of God and they added endless interpretations to them and ended up losing touch with reality and losing touch with the very people for whom they were supposed to be in touch with. And that's one reason why the people came in droves to hear the Lord Jesus. He would speak great truths, but speak them so simply. And when he did, it made sense to people. He would come and teach the law, and then these smart alecks would show up and try to twist him and catch him and get him to go against the scripture. But he would twist them into knots and humiliate them in front of their peers and embarrass them and expose them for the fakes and the frauds and the hypocrites that they were. But understand this, he never, not one time, never paraded his understanding. You check your Bible. It was always them confronting him, trying to impress everybody with their understanding. It was never the other way around. He was teaching the common man. He was helping them and giving them a true understanding of God. When they came with their ridiculous questions, trying to embarrass and humiliate him, he then turned it around and it embarrassed and humiliated them. And I noticed this, they never tripped him up. Have you noticed that in the Gospels? Not one time did they leave him standing there without an answer or stuttering to find an answer. Now you can be assured not one common or average person in the crowd would dare take on these scholars in a debate. But when they sought to discredit the Son of God in front of the crowds, Jesus handled them with complete mastery and patience. And he never groped for an answer, but he had the answer at his fingertips every single time. No matter what the question was, he had the answer. And the people, when they saw this, they recognized his answers as being truth. You know, folks, you can spot truth. You can spot truth. It's pretty clear. And the people knew that what he was saying was truth. And the reason he always answered truth is in verse 16. Look at it. Here's the reason he always answered truth. He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Jesus said, "I am come to do thy will, O God." There was no questioning his word, for his word was the word of the Father. There's a third thing I want you to see. The third thing is this. Our Lord as a student. Number three, this perfect student was not afraid to be himself. This perfect student was not afraid to be himself. You know, a lot of people who sit under a great teacher often never become their own person. Instead, they emulate their teacher. And in most cases, it is usually a bad attribute or a weak attribute of their teacher that they emulate. How many of you all know the name Jack Hiles? Would you raise your hand, please? You know who Jack Hiles was? Dr. Hiles was pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond and for many, many years had the largest church in America. They ran hundreds and hundreds of buses and brought in hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people on the buses just outside of Chicago in the northern northwest corner of Indiana in a right by Lake Michigan. And Dr. Hiles was a great preacher. Great preacher. I heard him preach umpteen times. Matter of fact, when Dr. Smith was here, Hiles preached in this church. He's been here before. Now, back in the 80s, early 80s through the mid 80s, all of a sudden, Jack Hiles started to cough when he spoke. He would start to preach, and he would, and I'm not exaggerating, it was that often. He would stand up to preach his message, and he would do that until I was ready to pull my hair out. It would drive me nuts. And I would be sitting there going, "Somebody get that man a cough drop." And people tried to give him cough drops, and he would shun them and just keep right on coughing. And he would preach a whole sermon and just cough like that. And he did this for years. Years would go by. Now, later on in his ministry, he quit doing it. He said that the Lord took care of it for him. And I'm glad the Lord did it because I was getting ready to get a ball bat and do it myself. But you want to know the funny thing? You could go on vacation and go to a church, or you could go out and preach in a fellowship meeting, and the preacher before you would stand up and go, Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book John. And you knew instantly where that boy went to school. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I preached last week down at Pensacola Christian College, and they let me speak to the undergrad ministerial class, and they let me preach to the graduate school preacher boys class. And in both of them, I took about 10 minutes and just stressed to those young preachers sitting there, "Hey, fellas, be yourself. Don't go out of here and try and be somebody that you're not. You'll fall flat on your face. You just be you. God made you the way you are. You don't go out and emulate some man. That's not going to get you success in the ministry." When I was down at Bob Jones in my junior year, we had to take this class called pulpit speech, and that's where you learn to preach messages and put messages together. There's all different kinds of types of sermons, and topical and textual and expository and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you learn how to do all that in that class. And there was a guy at our school who was a Bible teacher, and this guy could preach. I'm telling you, he could preach the paint off the walls. He was a preacher, expository preacher, just a mind. Oh my goodness, he was so brilliant, and put together a sermon, and you just sit there and your jaw drop and say, "How in the world could I not have seen that?" But he would put it together with such mastery that you just stood amazed. And they used to let him preach in chapel because he could preach. They used to preach him in at Bible conference because he could preach. He was awesome. But he was weird. I mean weird. He would get up and read the scripture and then start preaching, and he would put his thumb in his coat pocket like this. Now that's weird. You got 6,000 people sitting out there listening to you. You're standing there with your thumb in your coat pocket. And then when he got into the heat of the message, I mean, he is spitting on the first four rows. Just amazing. And then all of a sudden with thumb in his pocket, he would turn his head like this and stare at the wall to his left. And he would preach for a half hour like that. We're all sitting there going, "What's he looking at over there?" Weird. And so I get in pulpit speech class, and there's like 12 of us in the class, and it's time for your expository sermon, and you've got 10 minutes, 3 points in a poem in 10 minutes. It can be done. And he would say, "Okay, so-and-so, and here comes so-and-so," you know, with his black suit on, and he would get up and lay his Bible down and read his text and pray, and then he would say, "All right, let's begin," and he would look down at his sermon, start preaching, and sure enough, thumb go in his pocket. And about halfway through the sermon, right in the heat of the message, he would stop and turn and look at the left-hand wall. And we sat there thinking, "Good grief, are you kidding me?" Now, folks, think about it. For 30 years, the Lord Jesus was a carpenter. For 30 years in Nazareth, he went to the local synagogue every Saturday. He sat under a teacher for 30 years. But when he started his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, he did not spout the doctrine that he had learned from his rabbi. He espoused the doctrine that he had learned from his father. He did not become his rabbi. He became a voice for his father. World of difference. Folks, here's the point. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe what you believe? Don't just take my word for it. Search the scriptures to see whether they be so. Get in the book and learn for yourself. God's Holy Spirit will teach you what you need to know. You will read something and you'll say, wow, I've never seen that before. Well, let me tell you, it's been there all along. It's been there all along. The problem is that you just have not sat and read it and let God teach you His truth, His doctrine. I think one of the great things about Jesus was that He never saw things through the eyes of others. He was real. He was original. He was genuine. He always had the courage to be Himself. And I sure wish that we would all get the courage to read our Bible and think for ourselves. I remember one time several years ago, I was in a home visiting and trying to lead this lady and her husband to Christ, although the husband evidently had been bound and gagged before I walked in. He never said a word. I couldn't see a gag or a couldn't see him bound, but he didn't say a word. Of course, he couldn't get a word in edgewise, if you know what I mean. And so I'm trying to explain this. She'd been to church, and she had heard me preach, and her question was, well, can't be eternal life. I said, ma'am, yeah, can be. No, it can't be. I said, well, let me read to you what the scripture says. So I started reading to her about how when we get saved, the Lord gives us eternal life. I said, you know, explain it from every angle. I said, now what is eternal? Well, I know what eternal is. I said, well, is the Lord lying to us here? Well, no, the Lord can't lie. I said, well, then what's it say? Well, it says eternal life, but it doesn't mean that. So I would turn to another verse, and I would read that one. I said, what's that say? And she got so flustered and so frustrated and so angry trying to argue her point. And here's when she finally figured out what was going on. She got so frustrated, and she stood up and she said, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what my Aunt Susie says. And I just sat back and smiled. I said, did you hear that? I looked at her quiet husband. I said, did you hear what she just said? You don't care what God says? You don't care what God, you just care what somebody else says? I believe I'll take God's word over Aunt Susie's any day. Any day. Folks, you have the same Bible Jesus had. You have the same Bible. He knew it frontwards and backwards. And you and I can know the same doctrine that He knew if we will simply take the time to read it and learn the Bible. He didn't let some rabbi somewhere determine His theology. He didn't let some rabbinical school determine what He believed. He got His doctrine from the truth of God Himself. That's what we need to do. Are you reading your Bible on a daily basis? Because that's where you're going to find the truth. And then lastly, I want you to notice that Jesus was always ready to speak what He knew. Always. Always. As you read the Gospels, you cannot help but see that every answer He gave was laced with the word of truth. I mean, even when the devil came and tried to tempt Him 3 times, the devil tempted Him, and 3 times Jesus came at him, back at him with the word of God. He just answered with the Bible. Why? Because the truth will set you free. That's why. I mean, you say, but Pastor, I have a job and I have a family and I have a life and I don't have time to study the Bible. Well, folks, can I remind you that for 30 years, Jesus had a job? He was a carpenter. Can I remind you that, the Bible infers that when Jesus was just a young boy, that Joseph died. That meant the carpenter shop was on his shoulders. Being the firstborn in the family, that means that it was his responsibility to provide a living through carpentry for his mother and his brothers and his sisters. And yet when he got to 30 and started his earthly ministry, he knew what he was talking about. He said, I'm busy. He was busy, but he still was in the Word. Well, I'm busy. Yeah, he was busy, but he still was in fellowship with the Father. Hey, can I give you an idea? Get you the New Testament on CD, the Old Testament on CD. Put it in your CD player when you've got that hour-long drive to work. And have devotions listening to the Bible being read to you. Here's an idea. Get some sermons. You say, I hear you enough. Get somebody else's sermons. You're not going to offend me. And learn the Word of God as you're driving to work. Maybe on your lunch hour, you could put the Bible on your cell phone. You could put the Bible on your Kindle. And just while you're eating lunch, just sit there and read the Bible. But know what you believe. And always be a student of the Word. You know, I don't know what, years ago when I first started in the ministry, I didn't know anything. I've said this before. I know you're sick and tired of hearing the same old thing, but I was so green, you could have thrown me out in the front yard and I'd have taken root. That's how green I was. Good grief. I didn't know anything. I've got sermons back in my office. I'd kill you before I'd let you listen to those sermons on a tape. Good grief. I wouldn't even let you read them. Awful. Anemic, weak, sorry. And I wonder, how in the world did people sit there and listen to this? I don't know what I was expecting when I, hit 60. I'm not there yet, but I'm not over the hill. Well, yeah, I am. I'm over the hill and I'm halfway up the other one. But I don't know what I was expecting. But you know what? I'm 59 years old and I get excited every week knowing that I'm going to get to learn something new about the Bible that I can preach on Sunday. I get excited about that. And it never grows old. Oh, that we would just see ourselves as a student, learning, growing, maturing, never thinking that, well, I've arrived. I had a church member, not here, thank God, not here. I had a church member walk up to me one Wednesday night and said, well, Pastor, I just want you to know that there is nothing you can teach me that I haven't already learned. I went, what? And he repeated it. And I just said, that's good, John. And I turned and I walked. I couldn't believe it. Brother, it hadn't any of us arrived. Let's ever be the student of the Word of God.